Welcome to episode 88 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker. We have a great guest today. Her name is Christine Lakin. You might know her from the hit show Step by Step in the 90s. All my 90s ladies are like, what? I know who that is. And she has worked on a ton of projects in film and television over the years. But now she's here today to tell us about her new show, Hollywood Darlings. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But before we get started, I want to let you guys know a little bit more about Up4 Probiotics. If you've ever wanted to try a probiotic, this is a great way to start. Check out Up4 Probiotics. They've been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. Up4 Probiotics help support your healthy gut bacteria, which is so important for your immune system and your digestive system, and a host of other problems and issues you might be facing. Go now to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 Probiotics image to find out how you can start creating a happier inside.
Hello, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everybody. So excited that you're listening to this episode right now. Mostly because that means, yay, someone's listening. But seriously, I'm so glad you're listening today. Take a minute and subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood if you haven't already on iTunes and Stitcher. And then leave me a review. Let me know what you think of the show, what you think of the guest, if you want more or less swearing. I'm into it. Whatever you want to do. Just take a minute and leave me a review. Thank you. Okay. Also, getting down to business, I want to make sure you guys know you can follow me on Twitter at Heather Brooker and also at MIH Podcast if you are so inclined, but also on Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood, as well as on Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood. I've been so addicted lately to doing Facebook Lives over there, and it's so much fun to be live. It reminds me a lot of my old days in television as a reporter, whenever I would go live on the scene of some crime or, you know, whatever the story of the day might have been. And there's just something very exciting about live television. And I love that Facebook has brought that to their medium, that immediacy and the excitement of going live. Okay, my cat just jumped up. My cat just jumped up and slammed into the microphone. Now the question is, do we stop and re-record or do we press on? We press on. Anyway, Gracie, I love you. The internet sensation. I want to really quickly give a couple of shout outs to new Twitter followers. Hello at Hug London, Lakia at Promoted Parent, and Sarah Wilson at My Smart Puppy, as well as Andrea Fexo. At Andrea Fexo, thank you so much. And Sherry Winston, who I just did a podcast with. I was a guest on a show called TNA, Talk Sex. And it was an episode that was entirely devoted to women's bodies and essentially what happens with us whenever we have a baby in terms of like sex drive, not even necessarily just sex drive, but talking about sex after having a baby. So it was a great episode. It was a lot of fun. I revealed a lot of information about myself. So if you want to check that out, if you're just dying to know, if you're just like, I need to know more about Heather's sex life, go check that out. TNA Talk Sex. A lot of fun things happening in my world. We are leaving in a few weeks for our trip to London, and I cannot wait. I'm almost overwhelmed at the options and possibilities and things that there are to do while we're there. So I'm trying to narrow it down. And since I'm now running out of time and only have a couple weeks left, I got to figure some stuff out. And also in a month, you guys, less than a month, Channing is going to be turning 4. And I'm so excited and overwhelmed and just like very nostalgic. I started this podcast when she had just turned 2. So it's been in a crazy couple of years, and I just can't believe that she's turning into this little human being, this wonderful, you know, full of life and personality and opinions, human being. And speaking of, she just walked in the room.
When I eat my snack, I just want to just brought some chocolate milk.
Oh, I guess I bought Channing some chocolate milk for the first time, and she's just discovered it in the refrigerator. So she's very excited to tell me that she's glad I bought it. Can you say hi to everybody?
Hi.
And tell everybody, how old are you going to be for your birthday?
5.
No, no. You're going to be 4. 4.
You forgot chocolate milk with my snack.
Okay, well, we'll have some chocolate milk later, okay?
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
On Tuesday.
Okay, on Tuesday.
To my lunch on school.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay. So it's pretty fitting. That's pretty much my life, guys. That is mom life. That is motherhood in Hollywood while I'm trying to do my work. I'm also trying to balance being a mom. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we just incorporate our kids into what we're doing, which is the beauty of podcasting, I think. Anyway, so apparently I need to go get somebody some chocolate milk. So I want to get right to my guest today, Christine Lakin. You guys might recognize her from the 90s show Step by Step. That's where she had her big breakout role. And she's worked on so many TV and film projects between then and now. And I'm so excited because she's going to be, first of all, she shares her birth story, which is so beautiful and really just kind of a lovely thing to hear as moms. We all kind of like to hear each other's birth story and compare and, you know, and share that part of ourselves. But also she talks about a new show she has coming out with Jodie Sweetin and Beverly Mitchell from Fuller House and Seventh Heaven. It's called Hollywood Darlings, and it looks hilarious. I'm a huge fan of anything that skewers the Hollywood industry and the Hollywood image a little bit, and this looks like it's going to be so much fun. So I cannot wait to watch it on Pop TV. It's coming out, I believe, April 12th. So I am going to go get some chocolate milk and let you guys listen to the interview with Christine Lakin. Of all, congratulations, your baby's about to be a year old, right?
Yes. It's crazy. Yeah. It's so weird how fast time goes. Everyone says that, and I know it's like a, you know, it's such a cliche thing to say, what the days are long but the years are short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really weird because, you know, I'm in a mommy and me, and yesterday was one of the other kids' first birthdays, and the mom was super emotional.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like think about it. Like, that hasn't registered because I'm too busy figuring out what the theme is going to be and getting the invitations out and
looking at Pinterest
and getting puppets and making my husband learn Old MacDonald How to Farm on the guitar.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, you know, like, then I thought, like, oh my God, you think back to that day and you think, like, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. And really, it's the day of someone's birth. And mm-hmm. like that whole story every woman has, theirs is so unique. And, you know, and like thinking back on her birth was kind of traumatic for me.
Thinking back, or the birth part was?
The birth part was.
Yeah.
And I had
what
a,
happened?
Like,
if
I almost
you
want to
talk about it.
Yeah. I almost couldn't, like, I kind of glossed over it mm-hmm. because it was, I didn't realize sort of how terrifying it was for me. So essentially, everything else was so textbook with my pregnancy, and I was very lucky for that. I had some morning sickness, but it was nothing crazy,
right.
And I felt great, and I worked throughout my pregnancy. And then my water broke about a week early,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a little trickle, and I thought, is this my water? Because, you know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, because you're like, am I peeing?
Am I peeing? Was it pee? And then I called my doctor, and he said, well, you know what, come in tomorrow, just let me check, y'all be in the office, it's a Saturday, and like, let's just make sure what's going on.
Right.
So I go in, he checks me, he's like, it's not testing as amniotic fluid. I think you're probably maybe in the beginning stages. And I had some contractions, but they weren't ongoing.
Right.
And he said, you didn't test positive for group B, right? And I said, no, I don't think so. I mean, no one told me I did.
Right.
And he said, all right, let me just check your chart really quickly and make sure. And I had.
Oh my gosh.
No one had told me that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a huge mess up.
Right. It is, because that's something you should definitely know.
Yeah. So what happened?
He said, I need to admit you. And here I am, like, it's a Saturday. I thought there was no...
You thought, I'm just going in for a check.
I'm going in for a checkup. And, like, my plan, of course, mm-hmm. as we all had one, mm-hmm. my plan was to go back home and labor at home as long as possible. And I had taken all the classes. My husband knew all the massage techniques. And mm-hmm. I had my lavender candle. Like, I had all my things.
Wow.
And so I immediately, we go across the street. And I, of course, start crying. And I'm just like, I can't believe this. They're going to admit me, and now I know that I have, like, 24 hours to get the baby out, yeah. and I'm not even contracting. So this is, like, everything I don't want.
Right.
So they admit me, and I'm immediately, like, they're like, well, we have to put you on a fetal monitor, and we have to do all these things. And I'm like, I want to get off this monitor once an hour and walk around. And so I did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, like, 3 hours later, the contractions actually really started. And I'm like, oh, good. Like, I'm making this happen. This is going to work. It's actually going to be okay.
Right.
My water really broke for real, and everything was, like, on the move. Awesome.
Right.
5-6 hours go by, and I am in the throes of labor. And, like, we're talking 1 minute apart, and I'm just, like, I'm dying. I'm just, like, oh, doubled over, you know, moaning the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the nurse comes in, and she's like, how are we feeling about that epidural now? And I'm like, I can't even talk. And
I wonder if the nurses sometimes are like, yeah, we'll see.
Oh, I'm sure in
LA, I'm sure in LA they get a ton of women who are like, I just want to do it next.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
And then an hour later, they're all screaming.
Everyone's screaming, and then they're all rolling their eyes, probably in the break room, eating right. a cookie. So she comes back in and she checks me and she says, well, you're between a 2 and 3.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't working at all. Like, nothing was working. And that's after I had already agreed to the epidural. And, you know, a friend of mine was a dancer for a long time, and I was as well. And I thought, well, maybe I'll get the epidural and maybe it will actually relax things and it'll actually help me progress.
Sure.
And that, of course, was not the case. Mm. And it stopped all the contractions. It made me feel better, but it stopped everything else. They started me on Pitocin. That didn't work. And now I really was upset with myself. And I felt like I had derailed my own birth. And I felt like I blamed myself. I shouldn't have gotten the epidural. I should have just stuck it out. And I should have done this. Why we do this as women, we blame ourselves all the time for things we have no control over, including our own bodies.
Yeah. You can't control birth. That's the one, you know.
No.
We do that, I think, because there is an expectation. Mm-hmm. I think especially here in LA, there's a desire to want to have that natural, beautiful process.
Yeah.
I planned the same way you did. My husband and I took the birthing classes. We knew about the positions for massaging and all that stuff. We had a plan too. And I had a ball I was going to bounce on. Yeah. I spent hours creating my birth mix. There was Dave Matthews. I mean, it was going to be magic. And mine was similar to yours in that we had I don't want to say, my friend Lisa corrected me. It's not an emergency C-section, but it was an unplanned C-section. Mm-hmm. And it did not go as planned. And I kicked myself for a long time after, like, you know, that I didn't get to follow through. And I felt like I missed out on something.
I totally get it.
You know, that natural feeling of a vaginal birth that so many women get to experience. But at the end of the day, it's like, she's here and she's healthy, and that's...
And do we really care?
Yeah, no.
No.
No, but we are hard on ourselves about it. Absolutely.
Especially in that moment, and like, you spend 9 months leading up, like, thinking about it, you know? So the whole night went by, and the next morning comes, and we're still between a 2 and 3.
Oh, no.
Oh, horrible. And I'm just like, I was like hibernating, you know? I think like, when things go wrong, I just like... lay in bed and just like, and hibernate for a moment.
Yeah.
And the nurse came back in, and I knew that they were all out there. Well, she has group B, and you know, and I hadn't spiked a fever or anything yet, but I knew that everyone was
now
talking.
Tell everybody what group B is and like how it affects pregnancy,
so
or at least as far as you know.
Group B, the best way I can describe it is it's like strep in your vagina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super sexy.
Yeah.
It's nothing anyway. Sometimes you can have it with one pregnancy and not have it with another. It has nothing to do with, and it's very random.
Right.
And if you do get it, there's a chance that if you can spike a fever and the womb can get too hot and the baby can start getting a fever as well. It can just be very dangerous.
Right.
You also have to be very careful with when you deliver. There can be complications in terms of the baby getting something, and they just have to make sure that, you know, if they have to put a baby on antibiotics right away, they would rather you be in a hospital where they can monitor a baby, or in a, some kind of a facility where they mm-hmm. can monitor the baby to make sure everything's all right. So that being said, I could hear they were all kind of whispering C-section, and I was, you know, I was just kind of resigned to it, even though it's not what I had wanted. Mm-hmm. My doctor comes in and he says, "You know what's strange? It's like your cervix is still closed, but you've started to dilate. Like at the very end of your cervix is still actually stuck shut."
Oh, wow.
"Have you ever had like cryogenics?" And I said, "You mean when you go into the cold thing to freeze your fat?" Like, I didn't know what he was talking
right,
about.
Right, right, right.
And I said, "No, I've never done that." He said, no, I mean, like, have you ever had an abnormal pap and had anything frozen?" I said, "No." It's like, because sometimes that we see this with patients who have had that.
Okay.
It's like, let me try something. And I can only describe it as he basically reached his hand in and manually opened my cervix with his fingers.
Oh, wow.
My husband was watching.
And I'm sure he was like, "What?"
And my husband's like, "I'll just say this. He really put his back into it."
That's now, at this hilarious. Point,
thank God for that epidural.
Right.
Because I didn't feel a thing.
Ooh.
He opens my cervix. He's like, "Let's see what that does. I'll be back in about an hour." I went from between a 2 and 3 to a 6 in an hour. And all of a sudden, he's like, "Okay, here
now
we
go.
Now we're in business."
So for whatever reason, your cervix just wasn't opening and it wasn't in line with the contractions you were having.
That's right.
Wow.
And, you know, then afterwards, I had told this story to a couple other people. And one of a friend of mine's mother, who had like 5 children, said, "I had this with 3 of my kids. And I swear to God, it was because I was a dancer and an ice skater. That my body was so used to in pain,
being like,
clenching.
Yeah. Being like tight.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe that has something to do with it. Who knows? Anyway, so everything started to roll fast. I was thrilled, obviously. Right. I was just like, "Yes, I'm going to be able to do this and it's going to be great." And we get to like 3-4 hours later and I'm almost at a 10 and they're starting to be like, "Okay, we're going to do some practice pushing and I'm going to come in and you're going to hold here and Brandon, we need you over here. That's my husband." And I started to run a fever.
Oh, no.
So it got a little scary and they were like, "Listen, we're going to get the baby out, but I need you to be very..."
And at this point, it had been 24 hours, right?
It had been over 24
hours. Over 24 hours, yeah.
I'd been admitted, I think, around 11 a.m. and this is now like 2 in the afternoon the next day. So just barely over. But I like just made that cutoff.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I... Oh, and by the way, because they had thought I was going to have a C-section, I haven't eaten or drank anything.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't
have
ice chips.
You must have been so weak.
I was...
Why don't they?
Starving.
What is the fear with ice chips? Every time I've ever had to be in a hospital or visited someone, they're like, "No ice chips." It's like, really? What do you
it's
think?
It's the worst. Finally, they let me have a little bit of liquid. I mean, I was parched.
Yeah.
And I'm watching like my husband eat a bagel.
Oh,
literally
no.
Like,
oh, no.
So anyway, so they come in and, okay, we need you to, you know, we can't, they were basically telling me like, we can't spend 3 hours pushing. Like,
yeah.
We need to really get the baby out. And I was like, I can do this. So everything starts. I start my pushing. I mean, I was able to push her out in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I closed my eyes and I just focused, man. Like I was like, you focus all your energy way down there. She starts coming out. I can hear my husband next to me, who's, by the way, forgetting to put the oxygen back on me because he's like, what's happening?
What's happening?
Her head comes out and my doctor says, stop pushing. The cord was wrapped around her neck twice. He cuts the cord. I don't know any of this,
yeah.
Of course. He cuts the cord off her neck. They were able to get her out. They put her on my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she was dead.
Oh, my God.
She was just like a limp purple thing.
Oh.
And I'm like looking at her and I'm, you know, everybody, even you dream of this moment and you've had this beautiful natural birth, vaginal birth,
right.
Whatever we want to call it. And this is what I had wanted. And it was, I didn't have that moment of euphoria of like looking at her and thinking, oh my God, I just did that. I was like, what's going on? What's, and then they took her right away and they put her over on the table and I heard him say, call the NICU team. And then all of a sudden, all these things started happening around me. And I kept asking, what's happening? What's happening? And no one would tell me what's happening. She wasn't breathing.
Oh, my God.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
It took about a minute, which, of course, in my mind, felt like an hour.
Yeah.
My husband almost passed out. He literally then at that point took the oxygen and sat down. So he's gone.
I'm going to try not to cry while you're telling the story because I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone. My doctor's in front of me sewing me.
Mm-hmm.
The NICU, the baby, I can't even see the baby. She's over on the table. The team is surrounding her and no one's saying anything and I'm alone.
Oh.
I'm just like alone.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm supposed to be happy, but I feel scared.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on. And I kept saying, what's going on? What's going on?
Right.
Finally, I heard a cry. Finally. Whew. And it was just like, oh my God. And then the next like 15 minutes, I was just trying to like calm myself down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't see her for 15 minutes because I had a regulator. And she had some trauma. She was a little bit distressed. Mm-hmm. So they had to make sure everything was okay. My husband went over and was able to, I was like, touch her, you know? Yeah. And then they finally gave her to me. And when they did, it was like they put this person in my arms and it's like I didn't know how to feel.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It totally does. There is, I think, a huge misconception about what happens in the birthing process, partly in because of TV and movies. They make, you know, make it seem like this magical moment. Hallmark commercials don't help and stuff like that. You know, it is not necessarily as magical for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel that initially either. They gave her to me and I was like, oh, I love her. But it wasn't like this feeling that,
I didn't cry. God,
this is magic. Like I didn't cry. Crying. Yeah, no, I didn't cry either. I cried when she first came out because I had, like I said, I had an unexpected C-section and I was a little nervous about what was going on. I cried then, but it wasn't until like, honestly, like a day or two, maybe even a week later where I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Because your hormones, I think are going crazy. Your body has just been through some trauma.
Yep.
And it's a huge adjustment emotionally and physically and all of that. So I don't think that's unusual. It's not unusual.
Yeah. And it just wasn't, you know, it just wasn't what I expected, I guess. Yeah. And really, I think that's, you know, we all put our own expectation on what we think it's going to be like and probably write our own story before it even happens.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, look, she ended up being completely fine. Everything mm-hmm. was fine. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for my doctor for trying something rather than just being like, let's send you off to a C-section. I got a golf game at 2.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that he gave me the opportunity to try to do that. And then the craziest thing is, and this is the other thing nobody told me about birth. Then you go back to your hospital room after you have your golden hour, whatever, right. Which, by the way, was like basically taken up with all the trauma. Uh-huh. They finally wheel us into the next phase. And we have this baby sitting in this bassinet in between us. And they're like, okay. So the two of you just need to take turns watching her throughout the night.
Uh-huh.
And
good luck.
So good luck, pretty much. And we're going to come in like every hour and a half and bother you.
Yes. Every hour and a half.
So even if you do get a chance to maybe fall asleep for an hour, you're probably, nope. It's probably gonna be more like 45 minutes.
So we're going to get back to Christine's birth story in just a minute, but I want to take a second and tell you guys more about Up4 Probiotics. I'm getting older, you guys. I know. So I've been paying a lot more attention lately to things like my heart, and Up4 has a specifically designed heart health formula. It features a patented super strain that is the first clinically proven probiotic to help maintain healthy cholesterol levels in the body. The goal of their heart health formula is to help maintain normal amounts of cholesterol in your body and support your body's natural elimination of cholesterol. So if that's something you've been thinking of, if you've been thinking about your heart and you're interested in learning more about keeping your heart healthy, why not try a probiotic? Go now to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 Probiotics image to find out more about Up4 and their heart health formula and how you can start creating a happier inside. But it truly is not the lovely, luxurious, like, and now I'm resting here with my daughter looking gorgeous, you know?
It's not. And it's like, it's the hardest place to recover. Mm-hmm. The bed was maybe from 1976.
Probably.
It was mm-hmm. so uncomfortable. All I remember is, like, I was delirious.
Yeah, because I'm sure.
I was just, I basically given birth and now I'm up all night and I was just holding her, like, rocking, like, in my bed.
Oh my gosh.
I think I was watching HBO. I think I was watching, like, the entire season of Girls or something. Like, I was just trying to stay awake. Anything I could do to stay awake. And I would find myself, like, slipping off and be like, like, it was just, like, it was awful. painful. It was so hard.
It's such a hard process. But she's good now, right?
Oh, she's great.
And yeah. I love her name, Thank you. Right?
Georgia.
Oh, that's such a beautiful name. Yeah. I love that. And you are planning her birthday.
I am. Thanks for letting me go down that memory lane, you're actually.
I either like, that or you'll be like, why did she make me reveal
that? No,
that
was like
that?
Really therapeutic.
Good. It really, yeah. Good. I'm glad. I love hearing everybody's birth story because it's all fascinating how similar we all are, yet different. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has something different to say, but there's a similar themes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I am excited to talk to you about, first of all, how has your career changed? What has changed in your life since becoming a mom? Have you slowed down a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ramping up? Because I know you have a new show coming out.
I do. I mean, it's different. Mm-hmm. I would say I definitely took time off. I went to work. I took my first job 7 weeks after she was born, and it was only a one-day job, and that's the only reason I took it.
Right, right.
But I did take probably about 3 months. I did a little bit of voiceover work here and there, mm-hmm. Which was a nice way to ease back into just getting away for a few hours. And I usually only did it. I mean, of course, I only did it when my husband was home. For the first 3 months, we didn't even do sitters or anything. Cause yeah. I just wanted to really try to be there for mm-hmm. her as much as possible. And I didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
I've gotten better at saying no to things that don't serve me.
Yeah.
And things that don't serve her because like things are less important and I am not chasing a game anymore. I'm just trying to make a living mm-hmm. and continue doing what I like to do, but I'm less interested in whatever the hottest new show is and who's auditioning for this and who got in for that. Like, I don't care.
Isn't that interesting how your perspective changes a little bit when you become a mom?
Yeah.
Especially in this town, because it does seem like it's less of a hustle, like you yeah. said, like it's like I don't really need to go to this event or this, you know, red carpet, whatever. I'd rather just stay home with my baby.
Yeah, and I mean, I was, you know, I had an audition yesterday. It's pilot season, so mm-hmm. things are starting to, you know, get ramp busy up. Again, yeah. and that's the struggle because we don't have full time help. Mm-hmm. I have like 8 sitters.
Yeah, on rotation.
Yeah, I've got.
That's
I'm
what
eight,
you have
I'm
to
eight
do.
Deep.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. I tell people all the time, like get a rotation of sitters and like people who can help you because yeah. invariably, if one isn't there, you're going to need backups.
Yeah, and my thing is too, if I'm not working, I want to be home.
Yeah,
you know, and it's very difficult, especially in this town. I feel like maybe other cities are different, but here, you know, childcare and nannying is very much a business for people.
It is.
So people don't want like a half. Time mm-hmm. part-time job. They either really want like a full-time nanny situation mm-hmm. so it's hard to find somebody who's really flexible
yeah.
to just do some hours sometimes
yeah.
But that being said, I went to this audition. I saw 3 friends, and in the past it might have been one of those things where people are like, oh hi, oh how are you, you know, and it's not like that anymore.
And they're texting their friends, she got her hair cut, oh my god, can you believe this?
Right,
what is she, who's she trying to be?
A competitive vibe in right. the waiting room, and it's just it's not like that anymore. How's mm-hmm. your sweet baby? Oh, she's mm-hmm. great. How are you? You had a baby too. That's wonderful. And it's more of like a catch-up session. It's like, well, man, if I don't get it, I hope you get it.
Right.
Because really, at the end of the day, you're only competing with yourself. You're going in there, and if they like you, it's you. And if it's not, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I have a life outside of all of this too.
That's the key right there, is I think that once you realize there's more to life than just the Hollywood hustle of auditioning yeah. and headshots and acting classes and networking and all of that, there's more to life. It really opens up your world. And I think for moms especially, and dads too, it lifts the stress and the pressure off of performing. And
absolutely.
Do you still feel any pressure though, like from your team of agents and, you know, manager or anybody like that? Like, hey, you need to get back in there.
You know, I luckily have a really awesome team of people. And one of my head agents, he has a wife who's an actress and they have 2 children. And I think more than anything, he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually changed agencies when I was about 3-4 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And they all knew I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And
wasn't an issue?
No. And they knew I wasn't going to be able to go out for pilot season that year mm-hmm. because I would have been like, I was basically having a baby during yeah. that time, and no one was really concerned about it.
Here's what I want to know. I've heard that from a lot of actresses, working actresses, who nobody has said, yeah, my agent dumped me, or no, I didn't really work anymore after I got pregnant or had my baby. Do you think that sort of image of a woman or an actress in particular having a kid and it ruining her career, does that still exist? Or was that something that was more like 10, 15 years ago?
It's hard to say. I think it does still exist.
You do.
I think we would be naive to think that it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I think it is maybe... I'm hoping that the tide is turning, mm-hmm. and that it's that people aren't just so money hungry and focused on, oh, well, now she can't work for, you know, the next 6 months or right. whatever it is, that in longevity, that's really nothing.
That's nothing.
That's nothing in this town. No. But I do think it still exists. And I think people are, you know, maybe just not talking about it as overtly because it's illegal. Mm-hmm. Let's all remember that. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that it is tough. Like, I remember being pregnant and going out for stuff, and we hadn't announced that we were pregnant yet. I was up for a show, mm-hmm. and the testing period for the show was so long. Like, I would go back for a callback. Oh, great. Now we have a chemistry read, but that's not for another 2 weeks. Oh, actually, we just changed the date. Okay, now it's this time. Well, we're not going to know if you got it for another 2 weeks. So here I was, like, about to announce my pregnancy, and I waited a whole other month because I thought if I announced it, they found out I was pregnant, they would have never hired me.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Yeah, I was going to say, and I think you're right. Because, God forbid, we show an actual pregnant, like, I don't know what you were auditioning for. Was it a mom?
No, it was just, it was like more of like a comedic, like, wrap-up, like, week, like a, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like a variety show.
Oh, like a variety show.
They'll be hosting.
I think, though, that people don't want to see pregnant ladies on TV.
I think you're right.
Why is that? Like, when our celebrities, like huge stars, walked on the red carpet and they're draped in, like, you know, Louis Vuitton or whatever, then we're like, oh, she looks gorgeous.
Look at Natalie Portman.
Yes, yes. But, like, if when it comes to, like, actually hiring her when she's that pregnant to play a part, I don't think anybody would do that. It's weird. It's a weird thing to me.
I was hosting another show that for CMT. And I had been doing it for a couple of years, and they had one more that they wanted me to do, and mm-hmm. it was in January of last year. So I was, you know, 8 months pregnant, mm-hmm. and they were quite concerned because I was so close to my due date. No, I understand.
Yeah,
it's a liability.
Sure, sure.
So they want to make sure, like, I had a note from my doctor that I was okay to be working, mm-hmm. and I was okay to be there, but they were all very nervous about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they're
yeah.
like, oh my God, if she goes into labor while on set, like, and claims that it was because of the stress of the job, like, this could be, legally, it could be very bad. Yeah. I think there's something to that, which I do understand.
I understand that, but also
I agree with you. I think that there's like a sociological component.
Sure. I think there's a big, that's a big part of it. But also, like, women work in their jobs every day that are pregnant.
Yep.
Stressful jobs every day that are pregnant. And their companies are not like, we don't want to work with you because we don't want you to sue us over, you know, because you might get hurt or give birth in the workplace. Like, so I just think that Hollywood gets away with so much of that sort of stuff when it comes to women and pregnancy, because nobody is not hiring men because their wives are about to give birth.
Right.
Oh, we don't want him to be stressed. You know what I mean? Like,
does it come back to like the fact that there's somebody up there making a decision that's like, oh, pregnant women just aren't. They're not sexy in that way that we need them to be.
Yeah. Or they're not funny or, you know, whatever.
Right.
That's a total, we could totally like go down that rabbit hole forever and I'd be like, oh, Hollywood, it's not fair.
Exactly.
But I want to talk about, Hollywood Darling.
Yes.
This is so cute.
Thanks.
Tell me about it. And how did it sort of come about?
So Hollywood Darlings is a half hour comedy. It'll be premiering on the Pop Network, which formerly was the TV Guide Network.
Nice.
The Pop Network.
Are they still going to run the TV Guide thing?
No, there was no ticker. It's a totally new network.
Oh, wow.
And they have a lot of original content. They have a show called Schitt's Creek, which is really funny.
Oh, yes. Okay, I do remember seeing that,
And then now they're rolling out some of their other new content, which will be our show, and we're paired with the Joey McIntyre show, which is called Return of the Mac.
Oh, great.
So Joey McIntyre's show is totally fully scripted. Hollywood Darlings is not scripted. We are not a reality show, but we are an improvised comedy. So the way this kind of came about is I got a call over 2 years ago mm-hmm. from a producer who had seen my web series, Love and Lakin. I made a web series and sold it to Hulu, and it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's still there.
Okay.
Anyway, it was sort of like a I wrote it, produced it, starred in it. It was a farcical satire on, like, it was kind of between The Office and The Comeback, as if
I love it.
Myself, Christine Lakin, had used to be this child star, and now she was making a grand comeback, and she thinks she's America's sweetheart,
right.
And nobody knows who she is.
Right.
So he thought it was really funny. He sat down, he said, hey, I want to do a comedy, and I want to, like, team up some of the best, like, in my mind, icon girls of the 90s. And I said, well, that sounds really fun. Let's see who else you get and,
right.
you know, what kind of tone you're going for, and we can talk about it. So it ended up being myself, Beverly Mitchell, and Jody Sweetin. And we've known each other for years.
I'm sure.
Jody and I were in acting class when we were kids. Beverly and I did an episode of Seventh Heaven. I played an at-risk a pregnant teen way back in the day, as you do on Seventh
right,
Heaven.
Right,
right. and so we had all, like, been in each other's orbit for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now we're all wives and mothers and, you know, Jody's, like, engaged again. We've all gone off and kind of done our own things and had our own sort of adult lives. Mm-hmm. So we all kind of reconnected and talked about this show and ended up pitching it all around town. Made a sizzle for Pop, and then they finally picked up the show, and we did 8 episodes this past fall. These things take time, people. I mean, this was like over 2 years in the making of us trying to just – I mean, Beverly got pregnant and had a baby in between us pitching it and actually filming the show.
Oh, my gosh.
So
– she was actually on my podcast last spring.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I was at an event, and I interviewed her, and I think – she either just had her baby or maybe she was still pregnant then.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. She probably just had Hutton because he just turned 1.
Yeah.
That was 2. He just turned 2. God, it's crazy.
So it takes years to get TV shows done.
It does.
And that's surprising to me, especially because you guys have such name value and you already come with fans behind you and an instant audience.
It all has to do with timing. You know, what network is ready for this right now?
Yeah.
And so many times, I've been pitching and writing television shows now for about 3 years. And I've gotten really close a couple of times. And it's not that people are like, oh, we love this idea. It's just not right for us right now. Or we have something very similar in the works already. Mm. Actually, we're looking more for vampires. Do you have anything with vampires? And you're like, no. No, I don't.
Were you talking
vampires.
To the CW? That's all they do.
They
is
say
vampires.
They don't want vampires.
They want vampires.
So anyway, we shot these 8 episodes. We had such a blast
doing
this
show. It
looks
like you guys had fun.
We had an amazing showrunner and, you know, a team of consultants who basically all came on. We all got together and we had a lot of meetings before we started. We said, listen, these are the topics we want to explore. Motherhood, friendship, career. Here are some of the fun, like, Easter eggs about our lives together that we can stick in there.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some great, like, people that we all know that we could bring into the show. And, like, let's take our personalities and let's, like, really ramp them up and exaggerate them. So Jody is, you know, the wry one. She's the sarcastic one. She's kind of been there, done that. She's, you know, had her she's had a whole life behind the scenes and, like, her personal life and is really, like, made such an amazing, I guess, comeback to television and her career. And she's got 2 amazing kids. And then there's Beverly, who's like the mom's mom, you know?
Uh-huh.
She's been known kind of for Seventh Heaven, and she's a little more of like, she's conservative. She's very type A. She's like very much a mom when she's home. That's what her number one thing is that she wants to do. And I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I'm, you know, I'm probably a little bit more of the free spirit. I am still working quite a lot trying to balance that motherhood thing and finding that to be a little more of a juggle than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, we kind of exaggerated all of these things. And I think what we got was pretty on the nose to what we tried to make. So I think it's going to be fun because I think fans will see sort of the other side of us in a humorous way and really what our friendship is, which is we just had so much fun making it. And I think that shows.
Oh, I think it looks really cute. And I think it's a great group of women that you guys have sort of assembled together. And now people can watch it just on their like regular TV channel.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a streaming.
It's not streaming Pop. You can go to poptv.com, enter in your zip code.
And that'll tell the people
that'll
where
tell
they can
you how to get it with your cable provider. They will also be a week afterwards. They will also be available on Google Play, Amazon. I'm trying to remember what the other one is. I know Google Play and Amazon for sure.
And how involved have you been with the producing aspect of the show? Are you a producer on the show?
Yeah, all 3 of us are executive producers.
Great.
So from the very beginning, we were all like very involved with what we wanted the show to be like. We likened it to having sort of an office kind of vibe. And we were all, you know, we all knew the storylines going in. So it wasn't like we just would be hanging out and there'd be cameras around.
Right.
We knew like, okay, the storyline is going to be us going in and, you know, Christine's going to go to a yoga class and there's going to be somebody there who's like really annoying. And it's like, I'm trying to get my me time. And someone there is just like, won't stop heavy breathing. And I'm like having a freak out and I can't handle it anymore. And that person ended up being Wanya from Boys to Men.
Oh, that's funny.
So there's a lot of like 90s like guest stars awesome. In there. But we were just improvising, you know, Tamara Mowry came and did.
Fun.
And we just were sitting around talking about motherhood and she came and did a scene with us. And she was so nervous in the beginning because she was like, I don't know what the show is and I don't know what I should be doing. We're like, girl, it's so easy.
Yeah.
You can curse.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, just take our lead. You'll have a great time. And like 20 minutes later, we were done. And she's like, that's it?
Yeah.
When can I come back and do more?
Right.
We have an episode. We go down to Andrew Keegan's Full Circle Church in Venice. And
oh, my gosh.
I did like a whole like hippy dippy day and brought Beverly with me. And she like hated every moment of
did
it.
Did she? That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's some great Easter eggs in there. You know, Soleil Moon Frye's in an episode.
Oh, fun.
Nicole and Heather Tom. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I saw your picture of them. I think you posted a picture. Maybe you posted something on your Twitter with them? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So and we did a whole camping episode with them, fun. Which was really fun.
I think your fans are really going to love it.
I think so, too.
And they followed you because you were on Step by Step. That was your big breakout role on Step by Step. But I think... so many fans have rediscovered it. They have followed you from the beginning. So I think once they see this, they're going to be like, oh my God, this is so great. Like all of the girls we love are now women and like have real lives. And
totally.
I think it's going to be wonderful.
And you know, I definitely think like 90s nostalgia is back. Mm-hmm. You know, people like the resurgence of Fuller House obviously has sort of like brought how well that's done has kind of brought like that into the limelight.
I think it's like a longing for a sweeter, simpler time.
Yeah.
TV shows now are so dark and they're great. I mean, Game of Thrones, you know, Till I Die.
Yeah.
Outlander totally. is my jam. But I'm just saying, like, they're just so dark. Mm-hmm. And there's something sort of lovely and fun and lighthearted about shows like Step by Step, the original Full House, and the new Full House, too, you know, Fuller House. So I think people are kind of longing for that.
It's comfort food.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember when I got Step by Step, I mean, I was a huge TGIF fan already. I loved, like, Fuller House, Perfect Strangers, you know. And then I just thought, oh, my God.
Perfect Strangers. Oh.
I've made it. Like, Friday night television, could it get any better than this?
Right.
It was like it's like when I would have, like, sleepovers with my girlfriends. We'd order pizza and watch TGIF. That's what we did.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think it's also, like, a time... when a lot of us were growing up, you know, it was before cell phones. It was really before internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, AOL maybe, but what? We were waiting like 35 minutes
to log on.
Download, so forget it. And then your mom would like pick up the phone and it would all be lost.
And you'd have to start over. Mom! Yep.
And it was like before 9/11. It was before, I think, a lot of like, you know, the things that we deal with today that are constantly...
in your face.
Barraging us because we have so much access to information. Mm-hmm. So maybe ignorance was a little bit of bliss. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it did seem like somewhat of a simpler moment.
A simpler time, sweeter time, and naive. Yeah, there was a naivety there, but it wasn't like it was bad. That's not a bad thing necessarily.
No.
That's a reason why I think so many parents want to shelter their kids a little bit. Some people don't, and that's fine. But like somebody asked me the other day if I'm talking to my daughter about the Women's March and about Trump and all that. And I'm like, she's 3. I think she would just be like, let's march around the house. Like she wouldn't know really.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those things, but I think when she's able to understand them more and process them more, cause I don't know. And also she doesn't really need to know the hot mess that's happening in our world right now.
Yeah.
Just yet. Just let her live her life.
Just let her march around the house
with her little kazoo or whatever.
Right, totally.
Well, I'm going to put up all of this information about Hollywood Darlings up on my website, motherhoodinhollywood.com. Thank you so much for coming by and talking to me.
Yeah.
And you guys, if you want more information about Christine, again, I will put that up there. Also where you can follow her on her social media sites. And remember, everybody, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.